and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. A day 422. How are we all doing? You should know by now. Mike's in a webinar. Because the chat was open alarmingly early. I'm not trusted with it, which is good. I'm happy with that. Oh, hello, Jonathan. Jonathan was first. And I have something here. Renee says especially for you. But I'm not sure who you is. So let's have a look what it is. And then hopefully I'll be able to find out. Oh, pasting it in right now. And it's having a think about it. Oh, he's getting there. Please close the gate. Do you know I have actually seen people, instead of walking around it, opening and closing the gate. That could just be a British thing because they're barking. But never mind. Thank you for that. Hello, Simon. Simon's fully recovered. He assures us he's fully recovered. Oh, you missed it all last night, Simon. There was something you needed to add to the murder board. Wasn't it the library that was behind the pub where the ear was bitten off? So you need to add it to the murder board. It's all been said before opening time, so you don't need me then. Shall I just go away? Shall I disappear? Oh, notice the difference. Oh, yes, apple today, Jonathan. It was the banana. Did you not hear about that? And Simon was enjoying the replays. Mike's cosplay. Oh, whatever Mike wants to do, whatever makes him happy. His Freddy outfit. He's got his Agnetta outfit. Do you know, the thing is, when he puts outfits on like that, he pulls every time. He's like, oh, can I have a picture taken with you? And then they're all over him. Men and women, doesn't matter. He's gender fluid like that. There's so much goes on here, Simon. Was that the bit where I regaled you with the tale of what actually happened with his first Freddy outfit? He's actually got two. The first one was grand. It arrived. He ordered it through the post and it arrived. And he got it all out and checked it all. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's going great, this. And he didn't actually put the trousers on until like an hour before we were going. At which point I said, you do realise there's a big rip in the seam, don't you? And the stitching hadn't caught. I actually had to do domestics and fix it. So, yeah, but his second one didn't need any help. Well, not in the trouser department, it didn't. It was the I Want to Break Free outfit. And actually, Nina's mum, who's in her 90s, bless her, Nina's mum bought him. I've only ever known these things called chicken breasts. But they've probably got a proper name, but I wouldn't know. Oh, no, chicken fillets. Chicken fillets, I've heard them known as. But they're like silicon. And they go in a bra to even things up. And given that Mike's were all over the place. And she actually gave them to him in the church. You should have seen the people on the other pews. There was a lady behind us who'd just celebrated 100th. Was very interested in them. Don't have to be crazy to live here, but it so helps. Oh. It is like a permanent queen convention. He does love his queen, does Mike? And, you know, on a Saturday night, he gets up to all sorts of mischief. When he was refusing to let me do his hair, when we thought lockdown was going to be like a matter of weeks rather than years, his hair was getting a bit wild. So I bought him another wig, a mullet wig, a kind of blondish mullet wig. And he quite took to that. He even answered the door to the Tesco woman in it. Yeah, it's a riot here. Party all the time. Ooh. Oh, yes, we could live stream it, couldn't we? It'd have to be X-rated because usually bad words are said. Oh, Patreon patrons. That's a good idea. Hello, Tony. How are you doing? Who else have we got? Are we all present and correct? Excellent. Yes, what's been happening today? It was a story that I saw and it caught my eye because it had a big poster with it. And I thought, really? What are you talking about? What are you speaking of here? Now, let's see if I've got a search on this so I can find it. No. I must do the right thing and do it in here. There we go. It was on iMore. And it's about the Epic and Apple saga. So let's see if I can copy that. Maybe not. Let's send it to a browser and copy it from there. Right, it was all about this. This was the... no, it's not going to work. This was the link. Apple and Epic argued in court about whether a banana can be naked or not. So I thought, is this a... It's April the 1st, isn't it? No. No, it's not. No. So the trial was underway and... You can see from there, there's an interaction, a transcript bit there with what actually happened. And their banana's called Peely. Peely the banana. I think I'm too long in the tooth to understand anything whatsoever about gaming. But there you go. Yeah, the lawyers must be doing amazingly well, Jonathan. Did you ever see that picture? Let me see if I can find it. Did you ever go to London where Wildies was? Behind the High Court. Fabulous bookshop. Let's see if we can find it. What would I have to type in to find it? There it is. It's that one. Good grief. That's actually the original, I think. But I went into this bookshop, and this bookshop is older than Charles Dickens, and he actually visited this bookshop. And it's not changed one bit since his day. And as you go, you walk in and then up some stairs, turn right, and there's the secondhand department, which was where all the students were. But on the way out, as you went down these like three or four steps, there was this old artwork in a huge frame. It was massive. And I remember glancing at it and thinking, it's one of those things that makes you think, but perfect for this kind of thing. So let me get Cloud up. So let's grab Cloud. I don't know why you've opened there, but never mind. Right, it's called the Litigation Cow. So when Jonathan says the lawyers are doing well, this is what he means. It's fabulous. Do you know, I think they did do a bit of Harry Potter nearby. The bookshop itself is in an archway between the road that runs behind the court and Lincoln's Inn Field. So it's something archway. Could be Lincoln's Inn archway. To get inside it, you actually have to like go through this little wooden tunnel thing. It's ever so tiny, but you see it a lot in TV programmes. There's also the arches further down, and you see that a lot in like criminal chase dramas. Beautiful arches nearby. This is one single archway, but it's actually that old. I think it's wood. But yet the Litigation Cow is where you've got Epic on one side and Apple on the other. And the lawyer is sat milking the cow. So the longer we can talk about bananas, the more money we get. Hello, Tracy. I did see a video about the shops in Harry Potter. And one of them was, I think it's a shopping mall in London. I had no idea because I've not seen Harry Potter. This will come as no surprise. No surprise whatsoever. But when you saw the shops, I thought, actually, that didn't need much in the way of mocking it up. You know, all of the roof area was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Ooh, Tracy went to the bookshop in Oporto. It was used for the moving staircase. Oh, wow. How are you feeling today, Tracy? Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, it's marvellous. I got my first birthday present today. It was a total accident, apparently. So I get this text last night, 12:30. And it's Kath. And she said, an Amazon parcel should arrive with you tomorrow. Don't open it, though, until Wednesday. And I'm thinking, why? What's Wednesday? What's the big thing with Wednesday? So you know, I'm like, really? Okay. Then another text came through. I think I'm a bit early. Then another one. Oops, it's not till next week, is it? So it's tantalising me now, sat downstairs with me shaking it and sniffing it and all kinds of things. But anyway, at least it'll be in the COVID cave for the full week. So no harm done, really. Oh, let me see this thing. I have the only thing I've seen that's Harry Potter related. You know, we talked about having an app that was a roaring fire. They do have that. That looks fabulous, that, doesn't it? Oh, yes, I'm liking that. They do have ASMR, they're called, and they're Harry Potter videos. Oh, I love them. I could sit there like inside a library with like things flying around and like a rainstorm outside. Absolutely fabulous. Love those. I'm a sucker for those. What can I say? So is this in Harry Potter? Is it a library or a bookshop? And is it the one that's in, what's that thing called? Is it Something Lane? Oh, I would love to visit that. That just looks gorgeous anyway, whether it moves or whatever it is. That is nice. Not, mind you, given where it is, that won't be happening, will it? Not for a long, long time. Mind you, Boris is still saying all sorted. Oh, I was glad this morning when I got up and saw the news this morning that Mike isn't working in Cambridge. Who saw that about AstraZeneca in Cambridge? You shouldn't laugh, really, you know, you shouldn't. But honestly, AZ Cambridge. Yeah, never mind the travel guide and all the rest of it. Can we have the actual... what would we call that? That's tricky. What would we call that? Protest. Maybe a protest is the right word for it. There it is. Protesters were outside AstraZeneca. Now notice this, outside AstraZeneca in Cambridge. They were demanding a people's vaccine. That it's the people's vaccine and not a profit vaccine. Now this was because it was 97% public funded. But it turns out, looking at these pictures, one, it got a bit naughty. And two, they actually got onto the building, which is frightening in itself. I'll put this picture in, and the picture at the top with the big red banner, just look down where the hashtag is and you can see the camera. And it's like, really? You had them on CCTV and they managed to get that far? Unbelievable. There we go. Good night, Jonathan. Right, what else have we got here? That's another link that I'm about to find. Oh, good, Tracy's doing okay. Now, that didn't last as long then as Dr. B, did it? He was down for it for a while. Oh, those pictures are fabulous of that staircase. Do you know, I wish we had something with that much character in the Trafford Centre. I mean, the Trafford Centre, when it very first opened, it was beautiful. And you know, it's pretty nice now. But no character. Or I think they could have been aiming for something similar to that, but it missed. It's too modern for that. If you can hear any snoring, that's not me or Mike, it's the dog. But there again, it's better than yesterday when she was in Yipsville and wouldn't stop yipping. She's well away, well away. Dr. B had the Moderna and you had the Pfizer. Yeah, you know, I would much prefer the Pfizer to anything else. But then I don't know enough to be dangerous, do I really? So just leave it alone and wait for them to call. So what have I been up to? Oh, million sessions. My calendar is looking like the United Colours of Benetton. I'm confused to heck with it. I don't know if this has happened with anybody else. My calendar's on Google. And all of these sessions are split up by person. But it's not uncommon to have six in a day. Each calendar has to be subscribed to separately. There's two ways of getting to the content of the calendar. One is to subscribe to it like you would to any other calendar. So, for instance, Mike has the Brooklands 196 calendar and the bin calendar. Lucky Mike. So I subscribe to those. So all these calendars. Oh, no, I did the first one the other way. And that was a nightmare because it then turned into, it wasn't a subscribed calendar. It was an invitation. It could only go on your default calendar. And my default calendar, I don't put stuff like that on. It's my calendar's inbox. So I thought, right, scratch that. Let's go plan B and let's subscribe to these calendars. So I subscribed to them and I came to a session last night and the calendar had disappeared. And I'm like, where's that just gone? And they seem to be appearing and disappearing. So is this something that has happened to anybody else, or is this just me? Do I just need to transfer everything manually? No, there's 180 sessions. No, I do not want to do this manually. I don't. And I can't just transfer things from one calendar to another because they've got this meeting thing on where other people's email addresses is in it. Who does things like that? That's not the easiest way. It's not the best way. Anyway, I did manage to get to them all. I finished my last one this morning at 4 o'clock. Grabbed some sleep and then was up again for the 1 o'clock. I'm actually in a session right now. Obviously, I'm time shifting it. They've slung them into a breakout room, but obviously I'm not with them in the breakout room. She's probably trying to talk to me and wondering what the heck is going on. But never mind, I'm not in the mood for a breakout room. I am time shifting you to 8 o'clock. No, actually, I've got another one at 8 o'clock, so I can't time shift it to then. I'll have to time shift this one to about 11 o'clock tonight. But it'll happen. Right, what else has been going on here? Oh, apparently J.K. Rowling loved and taught in English in Porto for a while. So maybe she'd actually seen that. I read somewhere that she sorted out the entire plot of the whole series of Harry Potter on a train journey from London to Edinburgh. I don't know if this is true or not. And that she used to write longhand in notebooks in cafes in Edinburgh. Until she got that famous that, you know, that wasn't going to work. Is this true or not? Has anybody else heard that? See, I've never read them. If only I had the time. If only I had the time to read everything that I want to read. Oh, I had a question as well. Who uses anything that that's like a Read Me Later app? You know, like Instapaper or Pocket or there's various other ones, isn't there? I'm sure I had both back in the day. And then didn't Instapaper go funny with the GDPR thing? And they closed everybody's accounts that were outside America. Because, you know, the world stops at the borders of the States. Get Pocket. Pocket was bought by Firefox. So it's got very tight integration with Firefox now. It's one of those things that's like a bottomless pit, isn't it? Oh, I think I quite like to read that. I'll save it to Instapaper. And then you never actually go into Instapaper or Get Pocket to actually read it. Does anybody else do that? Is that just me? Another one I had, where did I used to send it? If I wanted to read something later, I would tend to send it to things. Because I wanted one application or one workflow that worked. And that's so much more difficult than it sounds. Because even trying to capture to Evernote, although all bets are off with that now, with the new version. Even trying to capture to Evernote, it used to be great. But from iOS now, it's appalling. It doesn't actually capture anything. It stops and says, right, who do you want to send this to? I'm like, I don't want to send it to anybody. I want to send it to Evernote, you know, as the name implies. So I'm seriously contemplating one of the others. I agree with you, Simon. The train journey sounds suspiciously like one of those little factoids invented to create a rags-to-riches mythology. It does, doesn't it? But I know she was a writer from a very, very young age. So maybe she had the ability to do that. But, you know, don't know about you, but, you know, joining one dot to another dot, I'd need to write it down. But like I say, that could just be me. Mind you, I'm doing quite nicely. Oh, you should have seen me taking notes. I was taking notes in these sessions. And I've got to the point now, I don't know. I know we all love Notion and I love Notion. You know I love Notion. I can't seem to put notes in it that well. I'm a pen and paper girl, really. I'm trying to get back to that. So I made some notes on one session this morning in Good Notes. And then I, as I'm sat at my desk, I went back to Rome. And Rome, I can just bang these notes out. But I think that's Book Club that's done that to me. So I'm actually taking these notes in real time and putting like a placeholder where I'm like, I can't capture that right now. So I put like a follow-up on it. And it's working quite nicely. The audiobooks of Harry Potter are by Stephen Fry are pretty good. I've listened to half of one, Renee. About 40%, I think. It was when we first went into lockdown, and Audible made these things available for free. You could listen to them in a web page. You couldn't download them, but you could listen to them on a web page. And I got up to the Quidditch match, and I think I had like a little bit of the Quidditch match was the place I stopped. And it wasn't anything particularly that made me stop. It was just like I didn't get round to actually finishing it. So I guess I could do with getting round to finishing it. Were a couple of things in it that I thought were a bit dated. But then I guess it's quite a while since they were written, isn't it? Okay. A bit like Donald Trump being a self-made man. One of the things I heard about Donald Trump was that if he'd have just put the money that he inherited in the bank, he would actually have made more money. So being a businessman, he was investing in things and building hotels and stuff. But he would actually be richer today if he'd done nothing, which I don't know if that's true or not either. So to visit the bookshop, you buy a ticket for €5. You present, if you then present a book of more than €5, you're buying at the checkout and they take the €5 off the price. That's genius. Do you know there's so many bookshops in the UK struggling? I know one of them was literally at the point of closing down towards the beginning of the pandemic. And obviously everything had to go online. And they tweeted out, and this tweet got picked up by like Stephen Fry and whoever. And they all were retweeting. And they were saying, just buy a book, buy a book. This place got that many orders and it saved the business. But, you know, if a local bookshop looked like that, you'd go in, wouldn't you? Just to be nosy, FOMO, fear of missing out, you would. Although, of course, to put something in like that would cost an absolute fortune. Wildies looks like that, but nowhere near as grand. Doesn't have the staircase and stuff like that. But the oldie worldie feel to it, where everything's wooden and it's ever so tiny. And yet they're a thriving business. Absolute thriving business. I think in the end they bought the shop that was opposite, but you don't go into that bit. That's like their mail order bit. And they send books all over the world. There is a huge following for the University of London law exams in Malaysia, because if you've got a Bachelor of Laws from London, it automatically counts. You don't need anything local. So we had a huge number of Malaysian students flying in to do revision courses and stuff. And they get all their books from there. So there is a massive mail order thing goes on. But yes, it looks like that on the inside. So you've got to visit. You know, if ever you're in London, and especially as a law student, I mean, it was quite away from my college. It was very, very central. It was WC1, so West Central 1. Literally just behind the courts on the Strand. You'll probably, if you've ever seen like somebody come out, not a criminal case, because that would be the Old Bailey, but in a civil case, we won the appeal, the Court of Appeal is in there, you will have seen the front of it, and Wildies is at the back of it. But every time we went down there, me and my mum, even if we were just going to the University of London for results, they used to pin the results up inside the university. So obviously that was a big trip for me. I would then, because I'd be at home in the summer. So it was an almighty trip. But we'd usually make like 2 or 3 days of it and go down there and get the results. And, you know, once you've got your results, well, in fact, one year we went on a tour around the Lincoln's Inn just before the results were out. So results were out like 2 o'clock and we went on this tour. And this guy knew everything going back years. And he was going on about all the Lord Chancellors and which inns of court they'd been out. And then he said, like, you know, and then there was A and B, and now we've got C. And I said, you've forgotten Lord Havers. And he went, oh, God, I have, haven't I? He said, oh, he wasn't very memorable, though, was he? Oh, I loved it. So, of course, once we'd done the tour, we had to go visit Wildies again. Oh, and there's also a lovely cafe down there called Briefs, which could be taken the wrong way, couldn't it? Just think papers with pink ribbons on and be done with it, though. Fabulous, fabulous, though. Renee's got another vaccination invitation, even though he already planned out 2 sessions. So not as organised as we thought. That's my fear with it. Britain's just chaotic. What can I say? So J.K. Rowling taught English in Porto 91 to 93. Developed the ideas for the entire 7-book series. Got a start on the first one. Philosopher's Stone, a regular customer at Yellow, Lello, As soon as you walk in the door, you'll notice the resemblance between the shop's undulating crimson staircase and the grand staircase at Hogwarts. Yeah, but once you've seen that, you've got to include it, haven't you? I mean, it's too stunning not to. Others say it reminds them of Flourish and Blotts, where young sorcerers buy their magic manuals. This is all Greek to me. I need to watch these things. Believe that Rowling was influenced by other aspects of life in Portugal. I didn't even know that she had been to Portugal. Hello, Kim! We are all good, Kim. We are all good. Young Jonathan was in first. The chat was open from about 5 to 6, so young Jonathan had a wide window to make it first, and he did. Oh, Tony took Mrs. T to Whitstable Seafront in Kent. Lovely stroll along the beach in the sun. Birthday lunch on the beach. Oh, that sounds fabulous, Tony. And did Mrs. T enjoy it? The Hogwarts uniform may have been inspired by the black suits and cloaks worn by the students at nearby Porto University. Oh, Tracy, you've got lots of information on this. The University of, I'm not even going to try it, south of Porto. I've just renamed that university. Students sport Potteresque black capes. They do in Oxford as well. So could have been that, short capes. Not the long ones. Undergraduates wear like a short. It's a gown, but it's just short. Not many bother these days, though, to be honest. And Rowling has admitted that bad guy, Slytherin, and got his name from the Portuguese dictator, Salazar. Oh, this is fantastic. No, I don't know anything about this. Lello equals name. Oh, name of the bookshop. Awesome. I'll be able to look that up then, but those pictures are fantastic. Oh, I want to visit now and I can't go anywhere, can I? Simon was first. Not according to me. Let me have a look. Let me go right back to the top. We've lost that button, haven't we? We had a button that took you to the full chat, but trust me in mine, young Jonathan was first. I will say it's not a race, but you know, you guys treat it otherwise, so I'm not going to insult you by saying it's not a race. It clearly is. Oh, Mrs. T was a happy bunny. Excellent. Didn't want to be around people, so it worked out fine. I know the feeling. Do you know, is it just me? I know when this roadmap was laid out in the UK in January, it all felt like, yeah, May and June, it's months away, yeah, it'll be fine by then. And now it's like May and he's talking about next Monday. And particularly saying you can hug people from next Monday. Now, he might mean family members. But I said to Mike, you know, I can interpret this that people will be thinking, I'm just going to hug everybody I see. So I said to Mike, you know, if it's all right with you, I'm not going out. let them get it out of their system first. I mean, there are people that I would hug. And probably more so since Mike joined the Catanians, because everyone's friendly and welcoming and they will hug you. So there's probably Nina, Chidge, Rachel. But you know, that's where it stops. Don't hug me. Don't touch me. You're in my comfort zone. You're in my personal space. So I totally understand Mrs. T. And every time they say, oh, you can hug from next week, I'm thinking, yes, but it's not compulsory. If you don't know me that well, it's not compulsory. I need people to get that out of their system. Oh, they're also saying no masks and it'll all be sorted by August. And I thought, you know, Boris, you said this last year and then look what happened. While at the same time as they're saying that, they're also saying that now we've gone from zero to 450 cases of the Indian variant, which may or may not, you know, be covered by the vaccine. So I thought, OK, time to turn off and put the pandas on. So I've not got a clue what's going on in the UK and I'm quite happy that way. But yeah, according to government, hugs are compulsory from Monday. But don't get face to face, as young Jonathan put in that picture last night. Right. Also formal. You went to university in shirt and jeans. You could pretty much wear what you liked where I went. But in Oxford, the undergraduates, particularly the first years, you know, it's a big thing to get to Oxford. And most people go around on a bike. And, you know, your cloak does look good wafting in the breeze behind you. The other thing that you tend to buy is a scarf, your university scarf. My first one was a London one, and then there was when the Oxford one when I went to Oxford. And the thing is, you probably never wear it while you're at university. No. When you wear it is when you go home, which is to give the finger to the neighbours and say, yeah, I'm at Oxford or I'm at London. I remember my cousin did that too. He went to Manchester in the first year. It was like, I need my scarf. What do you need a scarf for? It's July. Actually, when he started, it was August. So the first week was like August. He said, I need a scarf. What for? And his mum was like, oh, you've got to have a scarf. So I said to him, bragging to the neighbours much. He said, yep. So it's not so much because you want to. It's more of a middle finger thing. Think of it like that, Kim, and then you'd be totally on point. Simon is completely outraged at lack of timekeeping. Sorry about that. But, you know, Mike's webinar. Oh, and anyway, this webinar he'd carefully arranged to avoid the match tomorrow. And then what happened? The Liverpool thing happened and they had to move the match from tomorrow to today. And then that leaves tomorrow as a rest day so they can play another one on Thursday. I have no idea how the match is going, but Mike is going to walk in and I will see if bad words are about to be said.
Bad words were said.
Bad words were said.
Bad words were said.
Come on, get online, babe. Tell us all about it.
I don't know, I'll not be watching it.
Oh.
My watch has been buzzing.
Talk to the microphone. Well, do you know what the score is?
Yeah, it says 2-1 on my watch.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
You could maybe upgrade the watch and better things would happen.
Mm.
She's been fine. She's been snoring.
Oh, God.
Little snoring bear she was.
She did that during my training. Oh, God, you know what? I was training this afternoon and I had no idea what I said. But the Alexa just started yakking on about...
Don't say the A word, the A-lady.
The latest news headlines and the sports news. You know, it wasn't even... Sorry, I don't recognise that word.
No, nope, she totally understood whatever you wanted.
So I just said to my delegates, I don't know if you heard that in the background, because I actually had to stop and say, Alexa, stop. I said, I don't know if you heard that in the background, but my Alexa's just started. I said, I don't know if it happens to you, but... Yeah, just randomly I'll say something and it starts me Alexa or me Siri off. I said, I'll probably set yours off now, haven't I?
Do you know, just turn it off. That one on the landing has the hearing of a bat. An absolute supercharged, nuclear-powered bat.
Yeah.
It's the same in the extension, though, isn't it? You're sitting in the extension, you just say something, and then the one in the kitchen starts. And you're sitting looking at the one that's like 2 foot in front of you, absolutely snoozing away, she was. The one in the kitchen, another super-powered ear thing. Definitely. Don't need it. Just turn her off before you start your training.
So let's see what's been going on.
Oh, dear.
Bad words were said.
Tony, is this true? You heard that India's coming off the red list. What? There are no words. Oh, Renee. Renee hugs all day, but only one person. You see, that's fine. That's safe. That's good. But generally speaking, present company excluded, obviously. In Britain, people are a bit on the dim side. So if Boris says you can hug it, they're going to take it as an instruction. Plus the fact, I think it's like he's bigging it up like he did last year when it was July the 4th, the big Independence Day thing. He has actually said COVID will be like a non-issue in August, from August. No masks, no nothing. And I'm like, you're an idiot. You're a total idiot. Because then there was another piece that I read. I'm reading the COVID, the interesting pieces with it. Flu has been virtually non-existent this year. So the big flu thing they were predicting, and they predict every year, don't they? And their answer to it is get a flu jab. So from August, you're bombarded with get a flu jab, get a flu jab, get a flu jab. And this year, nothing. I thought that's because we're all washing our hands and keeping socially distant. So why don't we do that all the time? And then flu would be a thing of the past as well.
I've just said to my delegates... Because one of the demos that I do in Pivot Tables is I've got a list of people who I'm calling my friends for the demo, but they're not. Apart from Lola, because I added Lola in. So I've got a list of people and I've got a list of starter, main course and dessert. So the idea is that it's my friends going out for a meal post-COVID. So I was saying, I don't know what it's like in the States, but in the UK, they were celebrating a bit because everything started opening. I said, apart from me, I'm staying in because I'm sensible.
It's idiotic. It is idiotic. But it shows you how powerful it is to just have, like, hand sanitizer. And the first time I went, like, somewhere public that had hand sanitizer was Alverston, the hotel. That was the very first year we went, wasn't it? Mm. And it was because there'd been an outbreak of the norovirus, which is like a flu-y sickness thing. You wouldn't want it, trust me. You would need many toilet rolls. So this hand sanitizing station was there. You know, and it's like, because it's there, okay. And there was actually a member of staff with it saying, can you please hand sanitize? So we did. You know, and we were absolutely fine. But I think that would be nice to see that all the time now. Whether we will or not, I don't know, because that costs money, doesn't it? Kimmy's preparing to wear a mask until at least the end of 2022. Me as well. Should I ever venture out?
Mr. Scotch.
Yes. This is the neighbour. Simon, murder board. Next door but one. Next to the one with the dog.
He saw me tonight. Coming back with Lola. And he said, how's your lady? I said, she's fine, thank you. He said, I haven't seen her for ages.
God almighty. Can I just say that sometimes he's a little bit jolly from drink. Let's just say he's a little bit jolly from drink. Maybe it's that. Of course you haven't seen me for a while. No, I've taken it as an opportunity to, like, right, okay, that was what life used to be like, and now we've got to do this for a few weeks. And once the few weeks were over, it's like, well, that wasn't that bad. You know, I could do that. And then as time went on, it's like, I have... Obviously, we've not gone out as much, if you're with me, to big events and stuff. And I'm like, do you know what? I haven't really missed that. I haven't missed that at all. So now I'm like reevaluating with, well, if you had an option, because obviously we were doing what we were doing in the last 14 months because we haven't had an option. But if you did have the option, what would you choose to do? And I thought, well, going out wouldn't be it. But I think I'm the only person on the planet who's thinking like that. But yeah, I'm with Kim. I can wear a mask for as long as necessary. You've just set Kim's A-lady off. I told you that would happen. I didn't know she went to Exeter University. I know, didn't she? I don't know if it was her first home or when she moved in with somebody. But wasn't that just a tale of a cottage? And this cottage went on the market a few years ago. And I think it was bought by whoever bought it because she lived there. And then it came on the market again and she actually bought it. And I heard the tale, to stop other people buying it and making money out of it. And so is that down there as well? I have no idea. Let me know. Mrs. Simon has just suggested up in the murder board. You could work on it with action figures. Oh, I'm liking that. An action figures game is what we need. Oh, do you know, I saw some merch today. I'm on the Rome Believer plan. The one that was £500, that one. $500. And they do Rome merch. So I'd looked at it and it was like a T-shirt for the book club and stuff. And I thought, well, I don't need merch. Anyway, in this mail that arrived that was all about the new features of Rome and the fact they've opened up local graphs to everybody, blah, blah, blah. It said, and check out the new merch. So I thought, oh, there's new merch. So I clicked on the new merch. I nearly fell off the chair. They had a T-shirt. Now, when I say a T-shirt, it was like a polo shirt with a collar and buttons on it. Now, your average price for that in the UK is probably about, what, £6-7?
Mm.
Something like that. This one was $50. I thought, is it stitched in gold and diamond edged? £50 for a polo shirt. Do you think they've got the idea that we're all barking mad because we've paid $500? And by comparison to the $500 to access the thing, 50's not bad. Not bad. No, I don't think so. Crying out loud. Oh, never mind. Oh, you saw an advert for Canva on the TV. Wow. Now, I would say we've not got those here, but then how would I know? Isn't something I would have expected to be advertised on the TV, but yeah, I can imagine it when I think about it. When it first started, it was pretty basic. I remember looking at it and thinking, no, it's too basic. Obviously, they've upped their game considerably since then. But one of the backers was Guy Kawasaki, who years ago worked for Apple. So he's big in marketing. So maybe he is behind all of that. Look at the exorbitant price of football shirts. Well, that's true, Tracy. Actually, you're spot on there. But I always assume that that's because they're taking a cut out of it, and a pretty large one at that. You know, the shirt, you can't sell the shirt unless the club agree to it. And the sponsor would have to agree to it. And then you've got your shirt manufacturer. Well, all three of that lot are going to want a big cut of it. What price is a United shirt from United at the moment,
no
Mike?
No idea.
Well, why don't you go and find out?
Because the mega store's shut.
That doesn't mean they're open online. They'll sell it to you, Mike. You'll just have to pay to have it hand-delivered
as well.
Go and
have a look at that link I've just posted.
There we go. Let's have a look. I've got Mike's link. Let's paste that in. United erect a ring of steel.
Yes, scroll down, see the second half of the picture. That's Old Trafford today.
Wow. Well, you can't blame them, can you?
No, because there's talk of more protests on Thursday.
Exactly, they don't want that game played. This was what would have happened with the Munich thing, that's why we shouldn't have had it, and we didn't. Bad news, that. But then no fans should be there. And of course, don't forget, when we look at those pictures that Mike's just put there of what's going on, they are talking on Monday...
£65.
Makes the Rome one look cheap. I would have thought they were around the 45 mark, so clearly I'm way out of it. Way out of it. 37.80 down from 65 is outrageous. Honestly, more than 20 is outrageous. But there again, you know, if you're mug enough to buy it, can honestly say I've never bought a United shirt. In fact, and this is genuinely true, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
We had a little souvenir shop, and it was built into where you're actually looking at there. It used to be under where that 50 plus 1 banner is. And all it sold was like odds and sods. There were no shirts. This is like the late 70s, early 80s. Just sold little pictures and pens and key rings and stuff. And it was actually run by Matt Busby's son. Then it moved and it went into a larger thing, and I did go in there early 90s. And then they decided that, you know, merchandise was such a big part of their business that they moved it to this mega store. It was called the Mega Store. It's massive. It's underneath the Matt Busby statue on the front of Old Trafford, and it is the full width of it. It is massive. And I said to Mike as they were building it, which was about 98, wasn't it?
Yeah.
98, I think. So it would be 23 years ago. I said, I'm not going in there. I'm not buying anything. And for 23 years, I have never set foot in the megastore. I will not go in there on principle. That was before the Glazers, before everything else. I am not buying, I'm not encouraging them to rip people off. And this thing is now, it reminds me of the Virgin megastore in town. Remember how big that was?
Mm.
It is massive. And no, I'm not setting foot in there. But if people buy the shirts, then you're just encouraging them to... I mean, how many shirts have they had? There was the pink one. That was to appeal to the ladies. Then there was the one at the moment, which looks like a zebra crossing. They've had that many different colours. And they change the strip every year. They change either the primary strip or the secondary. So a strip lasts for 2 years. But every year there will be a new strip. It will either be the first strip or the second strip. And obviously you have a third strip as well, just in case. Never used to have that years ago either. But they do now. It's a total rip-off. Total rip-off. Oh, $100 for a football jersey. It is. It's logic. Illogical.
Crookies says, I never thought I'd say this, but I will not be applying for Fulham tickets after saying they'll enter into dialogue and then making Old Trafford like Colditz. I'm not prepared to be put through myriad of hoops to get into the ground. They want to tell me what time I have to appear, which could be hours before the game. It's a massive open space, for God's sake. I've taken every precaution during the last year and a bit more. Enough is enough.
Oh, Tony's never bought United shirt either.
No.
Excellent. And Simon wants to know where he can get Max Bite's thong. Ah, those were the days, weren't they? We must do a new thong.
Yeah.
We must do. I will sort that out. I felt that about United for a long time with what Crookie's saying.
Mm.
That, you know, the last... A few years ago, that what happened was we went every week. And then we went to this match against Liverpool. And... In fact, there was something the week before that, wasn't there? It was like towards the end of the season, and it was like a nightmare. The first thing that happened was the police, as we walked out from where we were, we walked across the forecourt, we turned up the main road, and there's a cut through. Now, it's a full road. It was actually, remember the picture of, oh, this is good, I can link it to the lady pipes. Do you remember where they used to put the urinals?
Yeah.
It was there, wasn't it? It was that road. United, is it United Road?
Yeah.
So it's a dead end, this thing. You're not blocking traffic. It's a dead end. But you can walk through it. So that was where that was how we got back to our car. Our car was up that road and in the car park. We would use the back entry to the car park. And we comes out this day. There'd been no trouble. You know, everyone was quite jovial and happy. And there was a line of police, arm in arm, blocking our entry to United Road. And I said, what the heck's going on? So I just said to this copper, you know, our car's up there. And she got really aggressive. You're not coming this way. I thought, well, I was all right going that way on the way in. So what's your problem? Move on, you get arrested. I thought, blood and sand, I only said hello. So we had to walk all the way up this main road, Warwick Road, up to the top. Then take a right, then carry on for about another quarter of a mile. And then go in the car park from the other direction. And I said to Mike, this is ridiculous. Nothing had happened. They just took it upon themselves to block this road off. For absolutely no reason whatsoever. So a couple of weeks after that, we went back again. And it was the Liverpool match. And something to do with everybody's human rights, don't get me going. They decided what normally happened at a football match was the away fans were penned in for 20 minutes and that lets the home fans get away and then the away fans are let out and they can go to their coaches or their cars and they can get away. But there's no fighting outside because they're not let out at the same time. This particular match, and of all the matches, Liverpool, they decided to let them out at the same time. To say it kicked off was an understatement. There were bottles flying, there was bricks flying. Mike's doing his best to try and protect me. There was a guy with a kid, wasn't there? A young lad. I think he was about 10. And there was somebody with a young girl who was a bit younger than that. And they were petrified. There was stuff flying all over. And there was one guy who had, is it elderly father? I think it was, wasn't it? But, you know, the guy was struggling to walk. And he was trying to look after him. And these bottles and stuff were flying. The guy next to me, I was saying to Mike, just keep your head down. The guy with the kid and the one with the father managed to hide behind a souvenir booth, a programme booth, which in itself wasn't the best of places to be because, did I mention lady pipes? You know, there are toilets there, but people kind of just use wherever's available. And where this dad and the son shoved these people, you don't go there. But, you know, at least they weren't being hit by the bottles and the bricks. So... we were looking around. I said, where's the police? Where's the police? There wasn't a one to be seen. Nowhere. And United pay privately to the police to have police there. It's utterly ridiculous. So it was like, well, do we stay here or do we try and get back to the car? And the guy next to me, he was on my left and this bottle came in. It was either a bottle or a brick. I think it was a brick. But it hit him on the side of the head anyway. And he ended up using his very expensive shirt to wrap it round his head. And somehow we all managed to get across the bridge.
At least it was a red shirt.
It was a red shirt, so yeah, it wasn't too bad afterwards. But he was in a bad way, and he was stood right next to me. And what really annoyed me was, the week before, I couldn't even get back to the car because the police, in their wisdom, had decided to block the road off. But when we needed some protection, you know, to separate out, well, if there would be just been a gap between us and the Liverpool fans, maybe the stuff they were throwing, you know, it wouldn't have the impact if they're 300 yards away. Not a one to be seen. Not a one. Like I said, United pay for that. So somehow, you know, we helped this guy on and we managed to get back to the car. And I said to Mike, I'm not doing this again. This is ridiculous. And when you look at the state of the place now, it's like Fortress Old Trafford, isn't it? Mm. But the thing is, what they're doing that for? There's no fans allowed. Stop them at Warwick Road Bridge. Don't let them get to the forecourt. It is now completely isolatable, if you think about it. Whereas back in the day, it wasn't. But now it is. So you don't need all of that. No wonder the fans are getting a bit uppity. But yes, that was our experience, and it took us quite a while to recover for that. If that brick had been another 6 inches, it would have been me, not him. It is scary. Very, very scary. Usually, you know, I've been going for years, even on my own. Not a problem. But there will be a problem if you let the away fans out at the same time as the home ones. That's why you don't do it. And obviously it kicked off badly. The week after, it was back to, no, we're keeping them in. And I thought, well, why did you let them out last week? Because it was Liverpool. Liverpool fans can argue with themselves in an empty room. You know, why did you decide last week was a good idea? Somebody should have sued. But there were so many injuries. They must have realised from the number of people, because there's usually ambulances on the forecourt as well, you know, and they would have been needed to take people to hospital. That guy was going to need stitches at a minimum and probably a scan. Oh, he saved my bacon. He's in front of me and saved my bacon. So I've never bought a football shirt. Never. Bought a couple of T-shirts, but only from, like, sellers on the street. Oh, Tracy, are there new maroons in the feed? Not yet, Tracy. It came of doing a 19-hour day yesterday.
But I shall go and make dinner.
And now we've got to eat. I'll get there, Mike, I will. And I'll get there, Tracy, I will, I promise. But I don't know when.
Are you coming down with me?
Oh, are you heading out now?
Lola, come on.
Oh, Daddy. Oh, off she ambles. She did have a stick. She got quite grumbly at the beginning. And then she got a stick and she was fine.
Come on.
Where are you going?
Come on.
Down with Daddy.
Come on, tuck it there.
I think it's steak tonight. You might be lucky. You're a very, very lucky dog. I will let you know when they're there, Tracy.
Come on.
Enough of the anti-Liverpool rhetoric. You had an Everton bedside lamp. It's a sensitive subject. Oh, do you know it kicked off with Everton as well, now you come to mention it. But I don't think it's not the Liverpool fans or the Everton fans. You know, if you decide to let them out at the same time, it's just, some of it can be banter, but, you know, it only takes one person to take it the wrong way. The Everton one was hysterical because that was more my dad's fault. I was going with my mate, and my mate, she was ever so tiny. She was about 4'11". You know, she didn't want any bother. Let's put it like that. And we never got into any trouble. Honestly, we never got into any trouble. Two 15, 16-year-old girls never got into any trouble. And this night, my dad said, I'm coming with you because it's Everton. I'm like, yeah, so it's Everton. Well, you know, never had any trouble with Everton. No, I'm coming with you. I need to look after you. I thought, oh, God. My mum was rolling her eyes. So we got there to the game. No problem at all. We stood where we usually stood. This was when they were standing at matches. So about 83, 84. The standing stopped after the Hillsborough thing. So that was fine until the end of the game. All right. Now, obviously, because he'd taken us, he'd driven. So we just had to get back to the car. The car being in the car park behind a pub very close to the ground held about 100, 120 cars. And I said, so he said, well, we'll leave early. I said, what's the point? We're in the car park behind the pub. One, you're not going to be able to move because people will be parked in front of you. And two, you're not going to be able to move for about 30 minutes anyway until they've emptied the ground. So what's the panic? No, we're leaving early, he said. But for God's sake. Anyway, we managed to talk him into, like, leaving it till just the death. At which point, he was in a mad panic to get back to the car. Keep with me, he said. I know what I'm doing. And I'm still rolling my eyes. So we get to the turnstiles to let you out, so the bigger gates to let you out. He steps out into like a throng of people moving from the other side of the ground and gets carried away with them. I turned round to see my friend and she'd disappeared. So there I am on my own. And I'm like, this is not good. Because it then started, not exactly kicking off that night. It was just like a lot of banter and shouting. And I thought, I've got to get back to the car safely. Anyway, sees these police and I thought, I'll stick with them. And they were escorting the Everton fans back to the train station. And I thought, oh, well, handle it. The train station's just past the pub where the car was. So I thought, I'll just, you know, get in with them.
Had to get my phone in case my mother rings.
You better had, don't leave it here. She'd be on air again and petrified. So these police officers were escorting the away fans, the Everton fans, who were singing and in rather good spirits because they'd won. So I thought, I'll slip in with them, it'll be fine. And it was, you know, we're walking up the road, no problems at all. And then this guy turned round and in a broad Scouse accent said, good match, wasn't it? And I thought, I daren't show a Manchester accent. So I just went, don't say anything. So we headed up there, that was fine. Gets to the car park. And I just dives out of this like convoy into the car park. So I'm in the car park, pitch black, no street lights, nothing, in the car park. When I hear, you could tell there was a bit of trouble going on, but nothing. I've seen worse. But obviously, I still haven't found my dad and I haven't found my best mate either. But I thought, well, you know, they'll get back to the car in the end. They know where it is. So I'm stood next to the car in the car park, at which point I hear this policeman shout, let the dogs off. And I thought, oh, my God. So I dived behind the car and halfway climbed up a tree. I thought, I'll just stay up here. It took my dad about half an hour to get back. And that when he got back, you know, like a dad would be, particularly with a daughter, he was effing and blinding and going on with himself about how dangerous that was. And you don't know how much you had me worried. And I thought, well, actually, Dad, you've ended up worse. He lost his hat on the way back and it took him about 25 minutes. I said, Dad, you know, I could say the same to you. Where did you think I'd be? At the car. So, yeah, we have had some fun and games at football matches. Trust me. what have we got going on here? You don't think brawls happen at sporting events much. It's more of a carnival atmosphere whenever I see it, Kim. Whereas, you know, we take it very seriously here. Very seriously. As Simon will tell you, you know, when he's mentally scarred with his Everton lamp. Oh, you know how Overcast plays with your mind. Oh, Tracy, you've no idea. Overcast did much better than the Apple Podcast app last time. The Apple Podcast app is in the middle of some sort of transition. And what it's doing is, instead of pinging the RSS feed for a particular podcast that you're subscribed to, when you say update, it goes away and pings its own cache. And it's only updating its own cache once a day. I mean, even a broken clock's right twice a day. No, they're only pinging it once a day. So if they pinged MacBytes at like 6 o'clock in the evening and we published at 5 past, it'd be 24 hours before it turned up. And I'm like, that's not how RSS works, Apple. But that's what's happening at the minute. So Overcast is doing quite nicely. But I will let you know. Oh, good grief. Look at all these foreign languages. I'm not going there. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Oh, I've got a few words in Irish, but only if they were in the title of a U2 song. It's a kind of sub-language. Oh. That is interesting. I've always got the impression that, you know, a lot of people are taught Irish, you know, like Welsh, where it's compulsory. But like you say, I've never actually heard that many people speak it. Oh. Excellent. So, do you realise how close we are to WWDC? Only 3 and a bit weeks. Is it 4 weeks today? I do believe it's 4 weeks today. We should discuss it fully tomorrow. But I will find this picture because I needed a bucket when I saw it. Right. What should we call that? I think it was the MacBook Air. Right, let's try that. There we go. Is it that one? I want the picky. Oh, not that picky. No, the hideous picky. Like that picky. Oh, it's not on there either. We'll take that as a one, just in case. But the picky I saw was even worse than that. So let's try. Even that's not that hideous. Oh, no, I want the really hideous picture. Tell you what, let me try the images. I'm bound to find the really hideous picture in there, aren't I? No, I'm not. That doesn't work well. Okay, let's try something else and see if that works. Oh, this is a thing, more of a thing than I thought. Basically, there are suggestions that the MacBook Air will have a new model and there will be a range of colours. And said colours, you're probably ahead of me. The iMac colours. The one they showed you was green. And I'm like, no. Oh, just thankful that I got one before all of this happened. Let me see if I can find the actual picture of what I found. Right, MacBook Air colours. There it is. It was that hideosity. That one there. Oh, it's a video. But yes, there is a picture of the green one and the purple. That's the one. That's the one there that we don't want to see at all. Who likes this? And yes, it's got a white bezel. No. The keys are white. The bezel's white. The body, green. It's on Petapixel, that, and it's got the full range. Yes, it's the snot Mac, Tracy. It is vile. In fact, none of the others are much better. And I'm thinking, so there's not going to be, there'll be possibly a silver one, but there won't be the space grey one. I mean, I can live with silver, but really? All my other stuff space grey. You've got me into space grey and now you're not going to do it anymore. I wasn't pleased. I was not pleased. I just don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate the bezel. Because, you know, when you're working with something, it's just going to stand out so much. I just don't like it. Don't like it at all. None of them. I mean, I'm not averse to like blue or even like peach on its own. When you look at it, you might say, well, it's not that bad. But give us an option to have the space grey, for crying out loud. Don't just leave it like that. Oh, that is not good. I'm not happy with that. Kim likes her bezels black. There is a title for the show. I like my bezels black. I do. It just makes more sense. And particularly given that the bezel on the iPads is black. Even on the silver one, it's now black, isn't it? So unless they're making these like the toy model. Literally the toy model. Which was what we said about the iMac. So fingers crossed the real one will be announced. Although it might be September. They might be trying to fob us off with this lot. I don't know. But time will tell. So we... I can smell dinner. I need to get downstairs. I can smell dinner and it smells rather nice. All I've had all day was a salad and that was left over from yesterday. Because I forgot to eat it yesterday because I was so busy. So... with the coloured MacBooks, you'll be able to tell them apart from a distance. You would. But I never intend to be any kind of distance away from my toys. So I would much rather that I didn't look at them and think, snot, in Tracy's words. Anyway, I will see you tomorrow. And if they're supposed to be for creatives, how do they justify white distracting bezel? That, Tracy, is the question of the year so far that they have not addressed. I have no idea. That was my first thought, exactly. But given the way that they pitched it, creatives and somebody doing something with it, other than piddling around on Zoom, they didn't actually mention that. Even watching a movie on it, you'd have that white border on it. So I don't know. We will put that down and see if we can answer that question by the end of WWDC. So for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me. I will say goodnight from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.